chapter 2. Do you have difficulty finding the perfect gift for someone special at Christmas time? I know that I do. According to a recent survey, it says that 90% of Americans say that Christmas is their favorite holiday, but 20% say they enjoy Christmas shopping. And I find that hard to believe and difficult, very difficult to believe. I think in that survey, I think they must have surveyed mostly guys, because I don't think I know of one lady that does not enjoy shopping. I think it's like encoded in their DNA, you know, that shop till you drop thing. But for guys, you know, guys aren't wired that way. You know, just dealing with the traffic frustrates me. Yesterday we had our new members' luncheon at Red Lobster, and then right after that, I left Red Lobster, ran a couple errands, and I tried to get back to Red Lobster, and I ended up being late for our own life group Christmas party. And I'm the teacher. And because I was stuck in traffic. And I couldn't believe it was that bad. I mean, it was bumper to bumper on ISB. And man... But luckily, thankfully, I made it, and what a wonderful party we had. Speaking of Christmas shopping, let me throw this in. If you're a church member and you have children that are involved in our children's ministry, we do something special called Parents Night Out, and it's a time where you can drop off your kids tomorrow night for a couple hours and do some last-minute Christmas shopping while your kids are being watched by Tony Foster. What's so funny about that? Actually, that might be kind of scary, huh, Tony? Actually, we are having it tomorrow night from 6 to 8 p.m. And can you handle 50 kids? Probably about 50. He said, no problem. So bring it on. Tony says, bring it on. Now, we don't really know if the wise men here in Matthew chapter 2 had a hard time shopping, but we do know that they brought some pretty special gifts for the little Lord Jesus Christ. This is surely one of the greatest stories in Christmas, is this account of the wise men from the Far East, from a faraway land, who knew of the good news of the birth of Jesus Christ and who brought presents to the baby Jesus. It's a story that's filled with mystery and intrigue. Proverbs 25:25 says this. It says, "As cold water is to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country." And these wise men heard some good news from their far country, and we're going to see the trek that they made in order to see the birth. They got there a little late for the birth, but they weren't too late to see this baby Jesus and present him with some special gifts. Let's look at Matthew chapter 2, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.'" Verse 9, "When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened up their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." Verse number 2 contains a passage in there that has intrigued many for more than 2,000 years, and that is when the wise men came and they said, "We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." What exactly was this star in the east? We're not sure exactly, but whatever this light was in the sky, it definitely got the attention of these wise men. Without question, it was a supernatural work of God. And I might say that this wasn't an easy journey for these wise men. You know, it's not like it was like it is today. They didn't have planes, and they didn't have trains, and they didn't have automobiles. Over the rough terrain, these wise men came as they trekked to see this baby Jesus. This story is so fascinating because they knew a baby had been born, but they didn't know his name. They knew that a baby king had been born, but they didn't know where to find him. So they come to Jerusalem, the capital city, to seek out the king of the Jews, which makes perfect sense why they went to Jerusalem. But when they got to Jerusalem, as we read, they had to face old King Herod. And Herod, sometimes called Herod the Great, was one of many Herods. But this particular Herod was the one that was on the throne for 43 years. He was the one who issued the edict for all children under 2 years old to be killed when he found out about this baby Jesus. He was a murderous man, but this man, King Herod, apparently didn't have a problem killing people. Even before he issued that edict, listen to this, he was the one who murdered his wife. He was the one who murdered his mother. He had already murdered his sons. And as a matter of fact, when Herod was about to die himself, just before he died, it's recorded that he said this. He said, "Get some of the best-known citizens of our land, and when I die, put them to death, because if they don't shed any tears for me, maybe they'll shed some tears for them. And I want to be there, and I want there to be some tears when I die." And so he had people killed just because he himself was going to die. Now, this is not a guy that you would want to get mad at you. So these wise men were about to make his acquaintance, and Herod thought that he was the king of the Jews. While reading this passage, it seems to me as if the wise men assumed that everybody knew about this baby. We see in Matthew 2, let's look at verse 2 one more time. They asked, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" They assumed that everybody knew about this baby, but the answer, the fact of the matter is this, nobody knew. Not Herod, and seemingly not all of Jerusalem knew. They missed out on the very first Christmas, while these Gentiles from another country diligently sought out for Jesus. So when Herod's scribes and his chief priests, who he's called together, they go to the source of all truth to find the answer. They go to the Scriptures. And in the Scriptures, the source of all truth, they find and they tell him exactly where the very place is, the city of Bethlehem, where this baby king is due to be born. Let's look at verse number 9 in Matthew chapter 2. Verse 9 says, "And when they heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was." These wise men set out for Bethlehem from Jerusalem, which is only 5 miles south of Jerusalem. So it's kind of, I guess, from like Port Orange to New Smyrna or Edgewater. So they had a little bit more of a trek to make in order to see this baby king. And in verse number 10 says this, it says, "And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy." And verse number 11 says, "And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary and his mother, and they fell down and they worshiped him." They worshiped him. And then the very last thing we notice in this account, and this is the main thing I want to focus on, is this. It's probably the thing that these wise men are most noted for, and that is their presenting of gifts, 3 gifts. In verse number 11, at the very end, it says, "And when they had opened up their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." And these were gifts that were fit for a king. These gifts were fit for a king. And by the way, the tradition of giving gifts didn't start with Santa Claus. We've got it here, right here in the Bible. And back then, it was very important whenever you approached a superior, especially a king, that you present them with something of value, a gift of value. And that was exactly what these men presented to this baby king. The first gift that they presented was gold. And gold was a gift, and gold is a gift that was suitable to be presented to a king. You know, I've always wondered why these wise men weren't disappointed when they finally got into the house where the young child was with his mother Mary. Why these wise men weren't disappointed. I've always wondered that, because this little baby, he didn't look like a king. His home didn't look like a castle. He had no royal decree coming out of his lips. He gave no great speeches. He commanded no armies. This was just a little peasant child in a humble home. He passed no laws. This little baby couldn't even walk or talk. But to the outward eye, he seemed to be nothing more than a small child in a humble home. But these wise men were able to see beyond that. They were able to see beyond the present, and in deep faith, they simply bowed down and worshiped him. But today, folks, we have the complete story. We've got the finished product, as Pastor Dan said. And we, how could we not worship him today, knowing what we know today with the complete story? This child, this baby that we're talking about, the Bible refers to as the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords. Philippians 2:9 says this, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and hath given him a name above all names." It's not enough for us to simply tip our hat, but we should bow our knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible goes on to say in Philippians that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow, and then every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Bible was so clear on him. Maybe he didn't establish his kingdom here on earth the first time around, but the Bible says that he's coming again. And at this time, he's coming to rule and reign on this earth. When these wise men came to baby Jesus, they didn't cuddle him, and they probably wanted to, because everybody loves babies. And babies are adorable, and we want to cuddle them, and we want to play with them. And I'm sure these wise men probably did too. But these wise men, these influential men from the East, simply bowed the knee in reverence to him, is what the Bible says, to this baby Jesus, recognizing that he is the king. But his kingdom, as we talked about on this earth, is in the future. So where does he rule and reign today? In your heart. Colossians 3:15 says this, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts." He wants to be the king of hearts. He wants to be the king of your heart. And he wants to be the king of your life. The second gift that was presented, gold, and then the second gift was frankincense. You can split that in half if you want, frank and incense. Frankincense is a gum residue that is obtained from different kinds of trees that grow in that area of the world. And it's mentioned 17 times in the Bible. And it was used primarily in the Old Testament offerings to worship the Lord. Back in the Old Testament, the priest would make these offerings on behalf of the people, atoning for their sins. And Jesus is truly God, born here 2,000 years ago in a human body. And then the Bible says that he was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. He's also our great high priest, the Bible says, whoever liveth to make intercession for us. Hebrews 7:25. And 1 John 2:1, the Bible says this, listen closely. It says, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father." Who is that advocate? Jesus Christ the righteous. What an awesome verse that is. He is the sinless Son of God. Gold, frankincense, And then the third gift is myrrh. Myrrh was also a gum-like substance that was very valuable, a kind of perfume that was made from the leaves of a fragrant flower or fragrant plants. This is very unusual what you're about to hear about this myrrh, but after a person died, myrrh was used to anoint the body and prepare it for burial. Can you imagine that? Going to a baby shower. These wise men were coming to see this baby king, and they were presenting something to a baby that was used for the dead. You know, that's weird. That is weird. Why would they do that? Turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. You're in Matthew now. Turn to the right, and we'll get into Paul's epistles, the book of Colossians chapter number 1. Why did they do that? Why did they present this gift of myrrh to this baby king, Jesus? Because not only did these wise men give him the gift of gold that was suitable for a king, not only did they give him a gift that reflected his sinlessness, but friend, they gave him a gift that reflected his future sacrificial death. John 19:39 tells us that after Jesus died, his body was wrapped in linen along with a mixture of myrrh and aloes. John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus coming, in John 1:29, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Peter wrote, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold," he goes on to say, "but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." The apostle to the Gentiles, Paul, wrote in Colossians 1, let's look at your Bibles, Colossians 1:21. Let's look at verse 20. Paul wrote to us, those living in the age of grace, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things on earth or in heaven. And ye, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked words, yet now hath he reconciled." Notice verse 2. How did he reconcile us? "In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." One of the two ordinances in the local church is the Lord's Supper, where we reflect on his death. The Bible says, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth the Lord's death till he come, till he come." The real Christmas tree is this. It's that he bore our sins on that tree. That tree wasn't decorated with ornaments, but that tree, that original Christmas tree, was stained with the blood of Jesus Christ. I know that of everything that could have been given, these wise men brought gold, they brought frankincense, and they brought myrrh. That's what they brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. Gold pointed to his majesty, because Christ is the king. Frankincense pointed to his sinlessness, because he's God. And then myrrh pointed to his humanity, because he was destined to suffer and die for the sins of the whole world. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And he is so gracious to us, we can't do anything to earn God's grace. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are we saved? Are you saved through faith? Or through faith. And it's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Before God wants your gifts, listen to this. God wants your heart. God wants your heart. Man, it wasn't easy for these wise men to find Jesus, but they did. They found him. And so can you. I thought it was so appropriate. Before they presented these gifts to the young baby Jesus, first they gave him their heart. The Bible says they fell down, they bowed down, and they worshiped him. And that's the same thing that goes for us. The Lord will, if we seek out the Lord with all our heart, he's there waiting for us. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:13, the Lord speaking, and he says, "And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Right now, in the height of the Christmas season, there's a lot of shopping going on, and some will go to Walmart, some will go wait in the traffic to try to get in the mall, and some will wait till Christmas Eve to do their last-minute Christmas shopping. But we must always remember this, and that is that Jesus is the ultimate Christmas gift to us, because he sent his son Jesus to die as our sin substitute on the cross. God knew that our greatest need was forgiveness, so he sent us a Savior. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you so much for this account that we have of these